You're a first-time home buyer, homeowner behind on your mortgage payments, or a seasoned investor, my guests and I will share the information you need to take advantage of today's real estate market. So tune in every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on KCAA 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind, to the Realty Executive Hour. It's where the experts are.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Paige Hopkins. After months of politicking and millions of dollars in campaign ads, the people of Iowa will have their say tonight, meeting in caucuses to vote on Republican nominees for president. NBC's Tom Brokaw says the voters want more cooperation in Washington.
The one recurring theme, Republican and Democrat, independent alike, and the people I've been talking to in Iowa, is however this turns out, we want these people to work together.
Newt Gingrich says he and his allies plan to hit back hard at Mitt Romney following attack ads against Gingrich by a super PAC that backs Romney. Gingrich, a recent frontrunner in Iowa, is currently polling fourth behind Romney, Ron Paul, and Rick Santorum. On the first day of trading of the year, the Dow was up 180 points. It got off to a slow and troubled start, but the Broadway show Spider-Man is having the last laugh, racking up nearly $3 million in ticket sales last week, a record for Broadway. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Paige Hopkins, NBC News Radio.
If you want to get 2012 off to a fresh start, the psychics at California Psychics can help.
I'm Reagan. I'm an empath, and I can help you by feeling what's going on in your life and get around those little roadblocks so that you can achieve fulfillment in the new year.
At California Psychics, our psychics have real gifts and communicate clearly. In fact, only 2 out of 100 psychics who apply are selected.
The hiring process was really challenging. I had to go through a background check, test readings, interviews.
Call 800-PREDICT, 800-PREDICT, or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. And we promise that if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
I love helping people with love and relationships and career issues. I want to help them get on the right path so they can do what they really want to do.
California Psychics has helped over 2 million people. Call 800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. 800-PREDICT or CaliforniaPsychics.com. And if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever experienced, it's free.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Mary Kay. For tonight, mostly clear skies, a low around 50, and there is a high surf advisory in effect through Wednesday. And high seas will also be possible for the majority of the week. Wednesday, you're looking at sunny skies with a high near 87, and Wednesday night with a low around 53 degrees and mostly clear skies. Looking ahead to Thursday, sunny skies and a high near 84. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050 KCAA.
Good afternoon. It's 4:03. I'm Brett Malik with this Inland Empire traffic update brought to you by 99 Cents Only Stores. Be prepared for cold season. Stop by 99 Cents Only Stores and save on antibacterial hand sanitizer, etc., and pain relief, and Kleenex tissue for 99.99 cents each. Stop. 99 Cents Only Stores first. Problem in Redlands on the 10 westbound at Alabama Street. There is an accident and the shoulder is blocked, so watch out for that on the 10 westbound. Currently 82 degrees in downtown San Bernardino. We have Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino coming up next. I'm Brett Malik on the station that leaves no listener behind in your radio home for Cal State San Bernardino basketball this Friday night at Chico State, right here on AM 1050 and KCAAradio.com.
KCAA, the Inland Talk Express, presents Cal State San Bernardino basketball. This Friday night, January 6th at 7:30, the Coyotes battle Chico State University. Live from Acker Gymnasium in Chico, I'm Mitch McClellan. Join Brett Malik and me as the Coyotes meet the Wildcats in a CCAA conference game. Cal State San Bernardino basketball broadcasts are brought to you by Stater Brothers, The Days Inn San Bernardino, Office Max, Anheuser-Busch, Hyatt Place Ontario Mills, Baker's Drive-Thru Restaurants, Breakmasters, Fairfield Inn & Suites San Bernardino, Coca-Cola, Juan Pollo Restaurants, Country Inn and Suites Ontario Mills, and the Coyote Athletic Foundation. That's Cal State San Bernardino basketball action this Friday night at 7:30, live from Chico on your home for Coyote basketball, KCAA 1050 AM, the Inland Talk Express.
Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company has been serving the greater Inland Empire for over 60 years. For all of your printing needs, from full-color printing to high-speed copying and everything in between, go to Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. Their staff is committed to your total satisfaction. Great service isn't just lip service at Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. It's the way they do business year after year. Having trouble finding drafting supplies? Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company still carries a complete selection. Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company is rated high in customer satisfaction by ValueStar, an independent rating company. For all of your personal or business printing, call Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company at 909-792-3478. That's 792-3478, or visit them Street in Redlands off the I-10 and the Crosstown Freeway.
KCAA, your local connection for news traffic weather, and sports. AM 1050, KCAA.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Here now to help you take your business to the next level, the host of Taking Your Business Seriously, Gary Capolino.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're going to talk about the economy. Or look, think of it as an economic update. We did this before, I believe on November 1st, looking at the most recent data at that time, which was the first quarter. And mostly this is from sales tax information, but it's a good indicator of the local economy. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the takingyourbusinessseriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. And if you're interested in that earlier program or any of our earlier broadcasts, you can also access them through the takingyourbusinessseriously.com webpage. Okay, as I said, we're going to look at the economy, or an update, I guess, from what we did the last time. And the idea here is that if we have a better grasp of how the economy is behaving around us, this can offer itself or offer us some opportunities that potentially could be exploited, whether it's through an existing business or a new business. The idea of any business is to try to recognize the unmet needs of the people who are spending their money and create ways for them to spend that money expectantly to gain or to satisfy their needs. And anyway, so for to begin the process here, let me just get into some of the analysis that comes through a recent update that I have here. Okay, for starters, in the second quarter of 2011, now I know this seems a little bit outdated, but the fact is that even now, third quarter information is not yet available. I'm not sure what the specific release date was on this information, except to say that when I touched on this subject in November, this information was not yet available. Okay, but the standout information here is that the sales in Moreno Valley, and we're quoting Moreno Valley because they produced the report, and that is where my business is based, but for the most part, I believe, since I live there, that they're a sensibly typical city in Southern California. And once again, it is Southern California that we are broadcasting from. But compared to a year ago, sales are up 8.7%. And that's a little bit less than the increase in the prior quarter. But this also demonstrates that we are continuing to ride a recovery. And but perhaps not as fast as the quarter before. At the same time, all of Riverside County rose at 11.5%. And my own experience is that usually Moreno Valley moves a little faster than all of Riverside. But in this particular case, Riverside is ahead of us. Gary, why do you think that Moreno Valley might move a little bit faster than Riverside in terms of different trends?
It's just a smaller portion of the county. It's just there's a lot of things that have to go right for the whole county to go up, but in Moreno Valley, just a couple things need to go right for them to be a little bit ahead of the curve.
That's right. So typical, as I may have referenced them a moment ago, being a smaller area, they are subject to skewed data because of certain elements in the local economy that would perhaps make their data a little bit different than an entire county, which would overall produce a more homogeneous populace. Okay. At the same time, when you look at all of Southern California, their rate of growth is 8.9%. So perhaps not too surprising, that's somewhere between Moreno Valley and Riverside. Although it doesn't always work out in that order, but once again, Southern California being a larger area, thus that would flatten out some of the impacts. Now, as we get into some of the more specific data, you will see similar elements as we break it down by some of the different sectors. Okay. Now, the funny thing is that the result of 8.7% that I just produced a moment is going to differ from the first thing that I see in the state. Oh, actually, these are statewide results. I'm sorry. The statewide results are 9.4%, which is also somewhere between the county and Southern California. And once again, when you have a group of numbers, the numbers at the top and the bottom usually reflect some element of uniqueness about that particular piece of the population. Okay, but for the most part, the state of California in the second quarter of 2011 rose by 9.4% from the year before. And this is the sixth consecutive quarter of growth since the recovery began. So for the people who are in the news saying that the economy is in decline, if they're still saying it, they generally disagree with the financial data and most of the economists that I reference when I do my own analysis. Okay. Now, the reason for much of the statewide increase has to do with easing consumer credit, sales incentives, pent-up demand, and gains in the new auto sales. And consumers also showed signs of spending more freely in specialty stores, home furnishings, apparel categories, jewelry, and restaurants. So, Gary, how would easing consumer credit impact consumer spending?
Well, when they pay for it on credit, it means they're going to have to pay for it at a later date. They're usually paying in payments, like a credit card. You don't pay it all that month. You pay a little bit that month and then a little bit the next month, and it goes on and on. So as the year progresses, you tend to spend a little bit less because you know your money's already in use.
Okay, and you're perhaps, from my knowledge, an example of somebody who doesn't particularly enjoy credit, do you?
No, not really.
Okay. How do you prefer to buy things?
I prefer to buy everything with cash.
That's right. Okay. Now, when you don't have the cash in your pocket to buy things, what happens to your spending?
I usually either save up, or I don't spend as much because I'm trying to save up to get what I feel like I need or what I want, or I bite the bullet and buy it on credit, but I usually pay it off pretty quickly.
Okay. And what I was mostly getting to is your normal pattern, as I know it, is that when you don't have the money to buy something, you don't buy it. Okay? If, as you said, you're going to save for something, while you're saving that money, how much are you spending?
Not as much as I would if I didn't want that.
Certainly. Exactly. So the element of consumer credit here effectively allows people to buy things that they do not have the money to buy. Okay? But obviously, this is based on an expectation that they will have the money to pay off the debt. So sometimes out of necessity, when we have no income, we do get credit that we don't immediately know how we're going to pay it off. But when we are able to function sensibly, because we are not functioning in that dire need level, but when we are earning money and we need to buy something we don't have the money for, we are buying based on our what?
Credit.
That's right. And our expectations that we will be able to buy that back. So the easing of consumer credit ultimately means that the people who are in the lending business are lowering their standards to allow more people to borrow. Okay, this is an important element of the economy, and it's an important element of the lending industry. Okay, so when you have sales incentives, what does this do for consumer spending?
They're going to go up, or okay. They're going to spend more.
That's right. And who generally offers the incentives?
The sellers.
That's right. Not the lenders, the sellers. So we've got a number of different pieces coming together. You might say to form the perfect storm. Somebody walks into the place. You get the old, I'm from New York, but there was a guy called Crazy Eddie that used to always say that his prices were so low that he's practically giving it away. So now what we have is the sellers who are practically giving it away. And then the lenders who are giving you the money that you need to buy what's left. Okay? And then there's pent-up demand. Now, what is pent-up demand?
It means there's the demand for it, but people don't have the money yet to buy it. So when they get the money, all of a sudden they're going to buy it right away.
That's right. So if people normally buy, and we're talking about the population as a whole, but let's just say the normal sale of something that would be considered a necessity these days, a dishwasher. Okay, every house has ones. But if normally the purchase of dishwashers is based on the failure of the existing ones, so people buy them, let's just say, 10,000 a month. But if the sales go down, say, to $5,000 a month, does that mean that we've had an advance in the technology and that the dishwashers aren't breaking anymore?
Possibly.
Okay, but what is the more likely excuse?
More likely excuse is since they didn't have enough money right away, so they're going back to the old method, which is just doing it by hand, and when they get enough money or they're confident enough that they can pay off their credit, they'll go and get it at that particular point.
Exactly. So when we get to 2 or 3 months down the line, after 5,000 sales, 5,000, 5,000, and then we have a new month where suddenly a new factory opened up and a number of different things in the local economy that created a whole bunch of jobs, now suddenly, instead of selling 10,000 in a month, they might be selling 15,000 in a month. That's your pent-up demand. You have the 10,000 that they normally sell based on the normal breakdown of the machines, plus you got 5,000 that you're selling because of people who did not buy them because they didn't have the money. And this pent-up demand element can continue for a number of months, or sometimes it happens all at once. Now, as we examine some of the individual sectors, we'll get into this as well. All right, something that I forgot to mention at the start of the show, which is a little bit more pressing since it's just a few days ago away, but for those of you who are interested, I will be speaking at a free seminar on January 5th, that's this Thursday, at the Riverside Marriott in Riverside, California. The seminar is called Success Through Accounting, and in that seminar, I will highlight the problems that entrepreneurs face as they transition from small to medium size. And, of course, I will cover some of the solutions to those problems. If you would like to attend, I suggest that you communicate through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage. And you better hurry, because you just have a couple days. Actually, you have one more day, because we'll be starting at 8 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO, And today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about the economy, giving you an economic update. When we get back, we will continue to talk about the economy. If you have a question relating to small business or anything on this show, you can call us at 1-888-909-1050, or you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage. If you call us, we'll try to answer your question on the show. If you email us, we'll take it to a future show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who's been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
I shoved the envelope under my sweater and sneaked to the kitchen. Mom was on the phone in the front room. I didn't want to have to explain anything. I just wanted to be by myself. Clutching the envelope tightly, I stepped onto the ladder at the bottom of the treehouse. Something caught my eye above me, and I looked up. Light! It looked as if there were a firework display going on inside the treehouse. Crackling and snapping and whizzing sounds spun around above my head. Light shot out in sparks, dancing to the popping of noise. My first thought was to scream fire and run to the house to get Mom. My legs trembled as I inched upward, creeping up the rungs as quietly as I could. My heart banged so hard that it felt as if someone were hitting my chest. A couple more steps, and then I leaned forward, craning my neck to look inside. And then I looked up and saw... To find out what happens next, read Philippa Fisher's Fairy Godsister by Liz Kessler. Explore new worlds and check out more cool books at your local library. And visit read.gov, brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Matthew, you know energy-saving light bulbs last 6 times longer than that old bulb in your lamp.
Yeah, well, I don't even live here.
Matthew, dinner's ready.
I never met that woman.
It's your favorite, Matt. Lasagna.
Don't you people knock?
Just give me the energy saver.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.
Southern California's Inland Talk Express is KCAA News Talk 1050.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're talking about the economy, effectively an economic update from the second quarter of 2011. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. Additionally, if you have a question about anything we're talking about on the show, you can call about that also. All right, we were just talking about the analysis or the overview of the second quarter of 2011's sales tax information. And the last thing we talked about was the pent-up demand And that pent-up demand, where we're talking about it a little bit in terms of necessities, it also resulted in some sales of another necessity, and that is new cars. But there's something else that was also contributing to pent-up demand with the new cars. Gary, what was that?
That is the increase in sales at service stations or gas stations.
No, we're talking about the sales of new cars.
Oh, okay. There was the disaster in Japan.
That's right. And because of the disaster in Japan, a lot of the components of cars that are built, especially the Japanese cars built in the United States, they didn't have the parts. And as a result, a number of dealers in those cars found themselves virtually without cars to sell. So whether there may have been a demand for certain cars, some of that demand may have been satisfied by people buying other cars. For those who insist on buying a specific car, they just simply waited. And so as we have increased, that creates the pent-up demand. And then, of course, when there are cars to satisfy that demand, they're bought as quickly. And ultimately that reflects in the quarter's data as an increase in those sales. Okay. Also, all these factors showed signs of spending more freely in specialty stores, home furnishings, apparel categories, jewelry, and restaurants. Now, those later categories, Gary, the specialty stores, the home furnishings, apparel categories, jewelry, and restaurants, who traditionally buys these things?
The upper classes.
Yeah. The people who have disposable income. Okay. Not necessarily everybody, and not all of these things that are listed here. For instance, the home furnishings and apparel, to a certain degree, these may be necessities for certain people. But when we make reference to freely spending, generally that tends to suggest that people are buying the nicer stuff that reflect disposable income, as opposed to people who are buying necessities. Okay. Similarly, the buying of jewelry and eating at restaurants. Okay. When people don't have money to spend, they tend to eat at home. When they go out to eat, it's because of some element of, shall we say, prosperity that allows them to go and have other people prepare their meals instead of preparing them themselves. Okay, another element that was recognized at the statewide level was the increased airport traffic and auto rentals, indicating that travel and leisure is also in a recovery mode. And once again, who traditionally does the travel and leisure?
The ones who can afford it.
That's right. Now, this may also be reflective of a little uptick in business activity. If there are more sales, that means there is a higher level of business activity. Now, when sales are down, how does business try to handle their overhead?
They want to stop spending as much.
That's right. And when we stop spending on things, what are the things that we stop spending on?
The things that are you look at as not necessity. They're extra.
Okay. And a lot of times, and it's funny, because if something doesn't make sense in bad times, how would it make sense in good times? But the missing ingredient, or the key ingredient here, is that level of optimism. Okay? If you believe that your customers are in San Francisco, and you're in San Bernardino, okay, how do you generate sales?
You have to travel to San Francisco.
That's right. Now, if the economy isn't doing so well, why would you stop traveling to San Francisco?
It doesn't quite make sense.
But it might. Maybe it's on the expectation or your own intelligence or what you understand about your industry that says, there's no point going in San Francisco because they ain't buying there anyway. When things get better, maybe we will take the trip then. So the funny thing is, as sales start to pick up, then there's suddenly money for the travel. So is the money for the travel justified on the increased sale, or is it justified on the increased expectation?
The increased expectation.
That's right. Or possibly both, but I would tend to agree with the increased expectation. Okay. Now, the next thing that we have in this analysis is what they call growth in the hourglass economy. Now, this is something that was new for me, and we did a little bit of homework to see what this is. Actually, we didn't have to work too hard because it's explained in this economic report. But the economy that is characterized as an hourglass economy is one where you have a large and expanding group at the top of the socioeconomic ladder, and at the same time with an expanding group at the bottom. Now, how do you have expansion in the upper economic group?
Because they're making more money, so they can buy more things.
Right, but how does that group expand?
There's more people entering that region.
That's right. So there are people in the middle class that are turning into upper class. And at the lower part, if there is an expanding lower economic class, how is this happening?
There are more people in the lower middle class that are turning into the lower class.
That's right. So you have an element that there are some people moving out through the top, and there are people moving out in the bottom. And what is happening to the people in the middle?
They're just kind of staying in the middle. They're just struggling in the middle. They're not going one way or the other. They're staying constant.
Okay, and we're referring to this in the news these days as a shrinking middle class. Okay, now, what is interesting about this is that the wealthiest 5% of Americans are now accounting for 37% of all consumer spending. And as a result, retailers are now focusing their marketing strategies on just the high end and the low end of the economy. So effectively what they're saying is they're really not focusing their efforts on the middle class. Now, what does this say I would think that the people, the retailers, and their marketing strategies, if anyone's putting their money where their mouth is, but what does this say that they believe, Gary?
That the middle class is coming to an end.
It's shrinking. That's not where the growth is. So that being the case, they want to sell their stuff to the people with the money. Okay, now, are the people at the bottom of the ladder, are they the people with the money?
No.
But they're spending money too.
Yeah.
Why are they spending money?
They're spending money because when they get the money they have, they need to spend it on the necessities that they couldn't afford before. So they're in need of things to buy, so they buy them when they can.
Right. And when the middle class is not shrinking, what is typical and what separates the middle class from the lower class?
The middle class can usually afford them quicker than the lower class.
And they save their money. That's why they can afford it. Okay? Anyway, so what is happening now is that the savings element is no longer considered an element of sales. The idea of selling to people who can afford stuff is to convince them that they need to take money out of their savings, and that's how they make their money. Well, now what's happening is the retailers are deciding that we will sell to the rich who can buy anything they want, and we will sell to the poor who are buying out of need. Now, what is an example of the kinds of stores that the poor would do most of their shopping at?
Grocery stores, lower-end apparel stores, just getting the things.
And what are some of the typical stores that you'd think of?
Like a Ralph's, a Vons, or a...
And a Walmart and a Target.
Yeah.
Okay. And obviously the supermarkets are selling food, and that is a basic necessity. But everything else, they are not going to Macy's for. They are more likely going to the big low-cost retailers. And I'm not putting down these people or these retailers. They're an important part of the economy, both for sales and for employment. But the fact is that the reason that these stores have prospered so much is because of their low prices. And at the same time, the customers or the people who shop there, which is actually probably most of the economy shops there at one time or another, mostly because they're satisfied that they can get equivalent products at reasonable quality at a sensible price. And anybody who intelligently spends their money is trying to spend it as smartly as they can. And if you can get an identical item at Walmart as you can at any of the other places, but pay less for it, then you're the fool not to buy at Walmart. Okay, assuming you're buying identical products. Okay, now, the other element of all this is that the reason that the major corporations are sitting on their record profits and not investing in more employees is because when your economy is based on the spending at the top and the spending on the bottom, there's not a whole lot of potential for growth. Okay, historically, growth has largely come from the middle class, and that is largely being ignored at this current phase of the economy, or of the recovery. And for the most part, economists are a little bit hesitant about what the long-term potential for this particular recovery will be. All right, when we look at the specific business types, okay, when looking at by particular sector, and I'm mostly looking at the ones that have significantly moved in the last quarter, and one of those is the discount department stores. What might be a discount department store, Gary?
Like a Ross or a Mervyn's or
a Target or a Walmart, like we just talked about. Okay, so this is exactly what the economists are talking about, is that the lower cost stores are seeing an increase in business because the lower elements of the economic ladder are doing their shopping there, and they're doing more than they were doing before. Okay, if there's an increase in it, this probably points to that pent-up demand. Now, this isn't to say that people in the lower economic levels don't buy from time to time for pleasure, but the fact is that if we've been experiencing a economic contraction, then the pent-up demand would probably show in these stores before anybody anywhere else. Now, the interesting thing when we compare this to the period before is that there was nothing significant in the first quarter. So this shows the movement of the economic cycle as we continue our recovery, that there were signs in the first quarter, an increased sales overall, that there was some element of a recovery afoot, and we've now seen six consecutive quarters of improvement. But uniquely enough, last quarter, there didn't seem to be any noticeable movement in the discount department stores. Okay, but another area that has increased from the first quarter is the electronics and the appliance stores. Okay, once again, this is new. This did not exist in the last quarter. Gary, why would we be seeing a movement suddenly in the appliance and electronic stores when there was nothing in the earlier quarter?
Because they have enough money now that they can spend it on the electronics and the appliances that aren't really necessities.
Okay, but in the early phase of a recovery, what element of these electronics and appliances would probably be affecting or impacting the growth here?
The appliances.
That's right. The necessities, as opposed to the stereos and, well, we don't buy stereos anymore, but the electronics. It all seems to come down to music and video these days. We just have a new vehicle, and perhaps my age is showing here. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've kind of been going over a economic update through the second quarter of 2011. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business or anything we're discussing on this show, you can call us at 1-888-909-1050, or you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage. Also, if you would like to listen again to this broadcast or any of our earlier broadcasts, there are podcasts on my TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage. And uniquely enough, each podcast has next to its date a subject reference. So if you're interested in a specific subject, you can choose that one and listen to that one. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
Today is Saturday. Ha. Today is Saturday.
Yeah. Salad on Saturday, fruit on Friday, volleyball Thursday.
Water Wednesday, touch your toes Tuesday. Let's move Monday, sponsors next Sunday.
All the healthy children eat well and move a lot. And move a lot. And move a lot. Eat well and move a lot.
60 minutes of physical activity a day and eating well can help get your child healthy. So keep them active and eating well every day.
Skip a rope Saturday, freeze tag Friday, tap dance Thursday, home greens Wednesday, try a veggie Tuesday, let's move Monday, split the sweet Sunday.
Eat well and move a lot.
Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
I can help the next customer over here.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, that's a lot of books. Let's see. How to keep your child safe. Child-proofing your home. Child-proofing your yard. Child-proofing your in-laws' home and yard. Well, I'm guessing you have a little one at home.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like you must take good care of her.
Oh, thank you.
Now, let's see. Parent's Guide to Safe Toys. That's a really good one. Parent's Guide to Safe Foods. Parent's Guide to Safe Safety Products. Parent's Guide to Parenting Guides. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and other safety tips.
Of all the things you can read about keeping your child safe, the most important is attached to the back of their car seat. Read the instruction manual and learn to use the latch system. It makes it easier to be sure your child's car seat is installed correctly.
Parent's Guide to Telling Other Parents How to Raise Their Kids.
To learn more, go to safercar.gov. Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Move Time Radio, presented by the Arthritis Foundation. Yeah, get down and dance. You hear that? That's the sound of arthritis pain being moved, grooved, hustled, shuffled, juke, jive, junked, funk, shimmy, shook, and boogied. See, movement is just one of the ways to help fight osteoarthritis pain. Another is weight loss. You get rid of just 1 pound, that's 4 pounds of pressure off each knee. For more information on managing pain, wind and grind on over to fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
For the record, hell, we are the record. KCAA. The Inland Talk Express.
They say I'm crazy, but I have a good time. Life's been good to me so long.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been doing an economic update through the second quarter of 2011. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business or anything on this show, you can call us at 1-888-909-1050, or you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage. Okay, when we left off, we were just touching the electronics and appliance stores, showing a 10.9% increase in the second quarter versus a single-digit increase in the first quarter, and pointing to what seems to be need-driven buying. But now when we look at the new motor vehicle dealers, we have an increase from last year of 14%, and this compares to an increase in the last quarter of 39.8%. Okay, so this sounds like some demand-driven growth, don't you think, Gary?
Yeah.
Okay, but uniquely enough, and we were participating in the market during that particular period, why do you think the percent would go down from 39.8% year-to-year in the first quarter to only 14% in the second quarter?
Well, something that comes to mind with me is that in the early part of January, people are kind of buying the Christmas present they promised in December. So that would be one instance. Another instance would be that they're starting to get rid of their older car, their older models, so people are going to try and get a better deal on those, or they're trying to get the first of the next year's model.
Okay. And the thing that I'm seeing here is that when you have a 39% increase, what did we just say? That's real demand.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that demand go away all of a sudden?
If they all buy a car, then yes.
Okay. But what was the element that was affecting the new cars that we talked about earlier?
Oh, the Japanese disaster out there.
Exactly. When we were buying a car, what did we run into?
They were saying that their demand is up, but they just don't have enough to they don't have them to get rid of.
All right, so how will that affect our sales increase?
The prices will go up.
Right, but how many will they sell?
Not as many as they can.
Okay, does a few thousand dollars on a car offset not selling as many?
Yeah, it depends on how expensive the car. If it's a cheap car, then yes. If it's a more expensive one, I'm sure they won't really mind.
Right, okay. My suspicion here is that the still significant increase, but not as great an increase, only means that there will be pent-up demand in the third quarter. And while I'm not big on trying to see the future, I just suspect that on the third quarter we'll see some bigger numbers. Okay, the next area that I thought was interesting was that restaurants, and they break them down into restaurants of liquor and restaurants with no alcohol. Generically, what two types of restaurants are we talking about here?
I'm thinking the one without alcohol is like a fast food place, one that's more, it's a restaurant, but it's not like a sit-down place. And the ones with liquor are like the sports bars, the classes that have some element of wine or upper-class dining.
Sure, exactly. All right, and granted, over the last 20 years, what have the fast food restaurants tried to do with themselves?
Gear themselves more towards the lower classes, sell more cheaper, and expand their menus.
Right, but what has happened to the environment of the fast food restaurant?
It's all taken home. You take it to go.
Right, but if you want to eat there, it's a cleaner restaurant, and they're trying to bring themselves so that you feel like you're in a restaurant. So this is why we call them restaurants, but we differentiate because they're just that. Their food is to go. Are bars allowed to sell drinks that the patrons can take with them?
No.
Okay. We call that an open container law. Okay, and that, of course, is a overwhelming element of the fast food industry that separates them from the rest of the restaurant industry. Okay, but anyway, what we're noticing in the second quarter here, where there was no, where there was single-digit improvement in the first quarter, in the second quarter, the improvement is 17%. Okay, so who's doing this kind of buying?
Everyone.
That's right. Okay, but chances are it's dominated by people on the higher end of the economic ladder versus the lower end. But these people are there and they're spending. Okay? And then, uniquely enough, the restaurants with no alcohol showed a decline. And this is the only, well, it's not the only decline, but it's the only double-digit decline. That the restaurants that don't serve alcohol, our fast food restaurants, showed a 13.2% decline. Now, what does this suggest? If you have an increase in the liquor restaurants and a decrease in the non-liquor restaurants?
Either a lot of people turn 21 or that they're more people are eating at the more expensive places.
Yeah, it could be that a lot of people, because of the economy, and whether it's lower expectations or just economic care, they were eating in the fast food restaurants. But as things got better, they left one level and moved to the other. Whether it's back or not, the fact is it appears that more people are now, compared to last year, more people are eating in the liquor restaurants, as they're called, in the economic report. Okay, now the other thing that has just been with us for this whole year is the service station revenue. Service station revenue this year is up 30.8% from last year. And in the first quarter, service station revenue was up 19.2% from last year. What drives this kind of an increase? Is this about demand, or is there something else happening?
No, with gas prices, they keep going up, or they keep going up and down and up and down. So everyone's still buying pretty much the same amount of gas. They're just having to spend more for it every year.
And how does this affect everything else?
They'll spend more money on gas, so they won't have as much money to spend on other things that aren't necessities.
Okay, and thus this is a significant hindrance to the economic growth that we're seeing. Just think, if we didn't have these increases of just gas prices, which is a key element in our economy, think how much more money there would be to spend on everything else. Now, the next item, which is rather fascinating, I mentioned that I'm only covering the items with double-digit growth, but in this case, I'll make an exception. How about triple-digit growth? And that's in the specialty stores. Compared to 1 year ago, specialty store sales are up 216.4%. Okay? That's more than twice what it was last year. Okay? So, actually, that's more than three times. That's increased by 100% would get you to double. 200% will get you to triple. So, anyway, and that is compared to an increase in the first quarter of only 102.7%. So this is a very hot area. So, Gary, if you were going to start a business, where would you look first?
Probably a specialty store.
Okay. But obviously, to start a business, you would have to have a viable product. But if you're going to think about a product to produce, I guess you probably know what area it would be in. But anyway, I mean, it's always easy to look at the hot part of the economy and say, I want to be there. Okay. The real art of the game is to recognize where the demand will be and to go there. Sometimes it's luck. Sometimes it's by design. But ultimately, that number is rather significant. But it also makes you ask the same question. Okay, it's up three times what it was last year. Has it peaked, or will it continue to grow? And any investment is fraught with that particular question. And that's why I always say that a viable business makes money in a good economy and a bad economy. There are certain elements or surprises that can wipe everything out, like a tsunami. If you had a business in the affected area in Japan, if you were a small business, didn't have the resources or the insurance to cover it, you're just out of business. At the same time, if you're in the United States and completely dependent on the products that are produced in that area, you're out of business too. So, anyway, the game usually is you need a viable product and perhaps a little bit of luck. Nobody went through life expecting a tsunami in Japan. and the people who are picking up the pieces are no doubt suffering. Okay, those of us who are lucky to not be tangled in those particular elements are just that. We're lucky. Okay, but to look at the this overall report, what other opportunities do we see? Okay, the discount department stores are showing some growth. So that just simply means that, the people are buying. If you're going after the people who buy out of necessity, that means that appliance repair might be a significant area, because if people don't have the money to buy new ones, they're going to have to spend money to fix the old ones. Although something that I've found in my own experience is the cost of repairing an appliance these days, because labor in this country is so expensive for a knowledgeable repair person, it almost seems like you're spending just as much to fix it as you are to buy a new one. And, of course, that's a subjective decision that each person has to make as they are confronted with it. But in terms of the discount department stores, a lot of people's strategy on creating new products is to come up with something that's acceptable to the mass retailers. That's also a significant opportunity. Of course, the key to that particular game, if you have a good product, is to be able to get an appointment to the buyer at Walmart. Because, Gary, with Walmart's sales and distribution network, how many people do you think want to talk to the buyers?
They just want to talk to Walmart.
Yeah, but they want to talk to the buyers at Walmart, okay? The people at Walmart that buy and okay, so you may not have a whole lot of money right now, but I just made a deal with Walmart. How much money do you have now?
A lot more.
That's right. So this is everybody's dream. And thus, it becomes not so much a game of having the best product necessarily as having the connection to get that best product to the consumer. And if you can crack that Walmart or Target avenue, that's most of the battle right there. Okay, when we talk about the growth in the new motor vehicles, okay, we have something else that's going on there. Did you buy a accessory to a new car recently, Gary?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there money to be made in that particular area?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one of the things is that we buy cars for different reasons. Okay. One of the things that I've seen a lot with the clients that I work for, who aren't, some of them are in the construction industry, but in other industries, there's nothing more handy in anyone's business than a pickup truck. And depending on what your business is, isn't it great to have toolboxes installed in your pickup truck?
Yeah.
Okay. The guy who installs those things in the pickup truck is... That's a significant business. There's also the business of installing hitches. Okay. Now, a lot of the people who are in the business of doing this have built these businesses over a long time, but there is no real barrier to entry. Of course, the secret, though, is to get into the business where you already have a customer who will provide you with a significant amount of business to support the early days and the growth phases that will get you the additional customers. Everybody has a product, and everyone can deliver it for a little bit less. But the question is, will it hold up? And it takes a little bit of a period for people to establish themselves in their industry. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. And today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about the economy and a little bit about the economic opportunities that this current economy is offering us. Okay, you can check us out on our webpage at takingyourbusinessseriously.com, or you can email us, and we will be happy to bring your questions to a future show. Our special thanks to Brett, our engineer, and the KCAA radio station. Tune into us next week, where we'll once again do our best to take your business to the next level. Thanks a lot for listening. Tune into us next week.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio. This is Superstation KCAA in Loma Linda with your 5 o'clock local news. Now here's what's going on. First off, holiday relief at the gas pump is over. The days before Christmas brought the lowest prices in 9 months, but the owner club, Jeff Spring, says since then they've been rising about a penny a day.
Typically prices after the first of the year do go up. And if we're having a high price at the end of the year, then we can expect it to go up from there. Sometimes we'll see a dip in January or February, depending on the market. But most analysts are looking at a fairly high price average in 2012.
Overall, prices last year averaged out at the highest ever, eclipsing the momentary record spike of 2008. Rising crude oil prices, now up to $101 a barrel today, pushed regular gasoline to near $3.60 a gallon right here in the Riverside-San Bernardino area. Looking ahead, most economists agree that the linchpin for the Inland Empire's economic recovery is the housing industry. Brad Kemp, director of regional research for Beacon Economics, says it was the housing bust that triggered the recession and will continue to be the laggard.
Prices are going to remain flat for some time to come. Sales are going to, you know, remain flat for a while to come. So those won't add to that GMP I talked about, which is they're a big component of it. And that probably will continue to be a problem well through the end of 2012 as foreclosures and defaults continue to decline. Probably in 2013, we're going to start seeing some better numbers and start to see some new home growth, which will be a big addition to the economic output.
Shifting gears, overall crime in San Bernardino was down slightly during 2011, but the murder rate was on par with the two previous years. 31 people lost their lives, 23 by gunfire. In Riverside, 12 people were slain as compared to 9 the prior year. By the way, in Riverside, a shooting victim at a New Year's Eve party has been declared brain dead. Vincent Delgado was wounded and his body dumped at a street corner in La Sierra.